Hello, hoteliers, and thanks for joining us on the M3 Minutes podcast. My name is Veronica Berman, and I'm here today celebrating International Women's Day with Carolyn Hollum. Thanks so much for joining us,
Carolyn. Thank you for having me.
And, you know, we think about we're celebrating IWD 2024, but let's rewind a little bit and think about 2020, and especially this time 4 years ago.
Right,
I think it really was. Mm-hmm. I remember, I think it was February, and I'm not sure, do you remember kind of where you were when the pandemic first, you first heard about the pandemic?
I do. I was actually at home in Texas, so I was on my way back here. I didn't really know, I hadn't been watching the news that much, didn't really know the extent of what was going on, and I think because I was flying back, and you're sitting in the airport and you're seeing some of those televisions in the airport. And I'm like, what is going on? Something's going on. So I got back here and we came to work that week. And by the end of that week, Julie's like, okay, we're transitioning home because of the pandemic. Mm. And it really had gotten going. The schools, I have three children. So the schools had started sending out info of, okay, we're not coming back to school. And so, I mean, I can't believe it's 4 years. It's been 4 years. It feels like it wasn't that long ago.
Right, right. And I was just like you. I was traveling home from a work conference in Manhattan, of all places. And I remember, you know, coming back from this show, and RHR said to us, like, okay, if you were at this show, come home, stay home, and we'll be back next week.
Right.
And little did we all know that the world changed.
Right.
And I can imagine, as a mom, you probably had a lot of anxieties thinking, you know, like, what's happening? How can I protect my children, myself, my family? So, and a lot of other women probably shared that same fear, men as well. But, you mm-hmm. know, when we think about that time in 2020 when COVID first hit, you know, the pandemic has disproportionately affected women and it exacerbated a lot of existing inequalities. Mm-hmm. So how do you think we can mitigate the pandemic's impact on women's economic security, mental health, and overall well-being?
Sure. I think during that time, it was such an unsure time. You know, no one knew how long we were going to be at home and not being able to go out. I think some certain jobs, even, they weren't allowed to. If you worked in a restaurant, you weren't working. So, you know, some people's careers were put on hold. Some people didn't feel comfortable being out. And so they put their career on hold and decided, you know, I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to keep my children at home. Maybe I'm not going to send them back to school that next year. Maybe I can't send them back, depending on what part of the country you live in. So I know for myself, my husband and I both work, being a working mom and my kids were at home, and trying to make sure they didn't miss what they should be learning in school. You know, so the school was still going on, but it was going on at home. Right. So trying to balance, I think for a mom, trying to balance to make sure your kids are being successful, because that's important, you know, and you're still being successful at work and you're still doing what you need to, really took a toll on mental health. I think it was, for me, it was stressful. It was stressful to make sure that they got what they needed, but then I did what I needed at work as well. So luckily, you know, working here at M3, we transitioned home very easily. We transitioned back to the office very easily, but not everyone had that kind of work environment to do that. So I think a lot of women either lost jobs or took a step back in their career because of this time and the uncertainties of what was happening in the world and with their children at school, potentially. So I think the best thing we can do right now is try to go back to what we were doing and the push that we were doing for women previously in the workplace, you know, as we mentor and educate women to move up into those leadership roles. If we can take a step back and kind of help those that maybe have been out of the workplace and the workforce for a while and help them catch back up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, so much has changed from the year we found out about COVID to when the vaccine came along, and then even now, and just, you know, I don't, the world, I think a lot of people feel like the world has kind of resumed and we're back to normal, right. But then, you know, we're still seeing people who are getting sick because of COVID, and it's sure. a different extreme. So I think, you know, I admire women who, you know, have a family and you're taking it all in stride. So Now, when you think about some of these women who may have had to put their career a little bit on the back burner, and but for others, you know, they were able to keep pressing forward. Mm-hmm. But with that, do you feel like there are strategies that could be employed to increase the number of women in leadership roles and ensure that their voices are heard and valued?
Well, I think one of the big things as a woman leader is mentoring others. You know, we've all been in the shoes of trying to climb the corporate ladder, trying to get into leadership roles. And one thing I've always done is explain to anybody, really, not just women, but women especially that want to move up into that leadership role, the struggles that I went through, the good times and the bad. It wasn't all struggles, but the things that I learned along the way, especially how to balance a career and how to balance family, and let them know, you know, you're not the first one to do it. There's people out there that can help you, you know, which is great. You know, I think it was probably really hard for those ones that had nobody to mentor them or to show them the path. You know, those first people that were women that were going through, you know, trying to break those barriers. But luckily we have quite a few people that we can look up to and ask questions and just help along the way when we feel like we're struggling a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other valuable tips?
One of the biggest things is just work hard. I think, you know, working hard is something you can't beat, you know, whether you're a man or a woman. But for women, just work hard, really use your resources that you have, you know, whether it's, you know, education, whether you like to read yourself or you really value mentorships. You know, that's one of the things. Reach out and use your resources.
Absolutely. And there's so many. Some people, if you're not maybe a reader, but you're a networker.
Absolutely. You know? Networking is definitely huge, not just within your industry, within all industries. You can you can gain, you know, quite a bit of knowledge just from seeing how others have gone about it in different industries as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we think about along the lines of those breaking barriers, in what ways is M3 trying to break those barriers?
Well, I think if you look around in the leadership of M3, not just at the executive level, but all levels of leadership, we have quite a few women leaders in M3, and we have, you know, for a long time. You know, we have three women that sit on the executive team, which is big for a company our size, I think. And then you look all the way down to, you know, our supervisors, managers in different departments. It's filled with women all over M3, and I think that's shows that M3 is really just trying to get the best talent out there, regardless if you're a man or a woman. They really are looking for what do you bring to the table, not only for M3, but for the hospitality industry as well.
Absolutely. I'll agree with you there. So it's been great. So are there any specific steps that you feel that M3 takes to ensure both women and men are adequately considered for the roles in any level?
Well, there's quite a few programs that M3 has created to help in the leadership realm. We have leadership programs that you're able to apply for and get into within M3 that helps you, pairs you up with a mentor, different books you can read, things of that nature that help you prepare for leadership roles as they come available or as you're seeking those out. I think also M3 does a great job of making sure when there are leadership roles out there that the application process is that, you know, men, women both can apply. You know, we're going through the same interview process for both men and women, regardless of the role, that we're making sure that, you know, it's a fair and open and honest assessment when we're having those openings. But I think one of the strongest things is really is some of these programs that we've created just to help prepare those who are interested in being, you know, in leadership roles or those that we identify that we think could be the next up and coming leaders, that we kind of give them a little nudge and say, hey, I think you should apply for this program and be in this program to further your career.
Right. So thinking in the future, which is great because you know, you're in a different path versus someone who's right out of school. And right. so when you're creating those young leaders and molding and building, especially, you know, I think one of the biggest hot topics right now is retention. And so if you can right. keep a young person here, you know, and grow and mold them into, you know, a next leader, like what better opportunity?
Right. And I think sometimes leadership positions can be intimidating for people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not quite sure what they're getting into. So having these programs or mentors or people just saying, hey, what are you looking for? You know, having those one-on-one conversations with people, what are you looking for in your career? And potentially sometimes breaking down some of those myths about what leadership actually is. You know, I've had quite a few people, even in my department, they're like, I'm not sure if that's, you know, the way I want to go and then what my career is. What is leadership? What, you know, what is it that I will be doing? You know, what will be asked of me? So I think having open conversations as well with people and telling your experience and telling what you expect out of those leadership roles as well.
Well, we appreciate you being on here today, and thank you for taking the time to sit down and chat with us.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you, Veronica. Yeah.